Welcome to eClad Chat. eClad Chat. Streaming live to you from eClad's hidden gem in Midtown Manhattan. eClad Chat is down-to-earth broadcasting on big city events and the events industry, as well as fashion, jewelry, accessories, and lifestyle coverage in an intimate NYC way. Join us each and every Wednesday with host Casey Benane as we chat up industry happenings, industry news, and perform live interviews with industry talents here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Interested in contacting us or interested in attending one of our live shows? Email us at y-cladchat@y-clad.com. eClad Chat begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. I'm Casey Benane, and welcome to eClad Chat, where we chat up big city events, fill you in on industry news, keep you in the know with fashion and style, with a focus on jewels and accessories, touch on lifestyle education, and keep you abreast of industry content and information that will develop both your personal and professional lives. And so today, Miss Kaylin Burke is back with us. Oh my God, she went away on vacation, and I don't think she can do it again. But anyway. Welcome, Kaylin. Thanks for coming back. I didn't think you were going to come back.
Of course. Sorry I wasn't here last week. But starting with the promotion, it is the last week of eClad's Hidden Gem promotion. So we're offering a free hour with every 4 hour or more rental. And, you know, it's almost over, so make sure you contact us before it ends. And then last week on eClad Chat, Casey mentioned that today's show would be pre-recorded. So right now we are pre-recording it. And normally I'd give you a number for questions if you wanted to call in. But since it was pre-recorded earlier this week, we can't take live calls today.
I know,
but
boo-hoo.
Next week we'll be back live.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, so we did a little pre-recording. So, you know, we hope to entertain you with this episode right before Thanksgiving. And it's definitely a really intriguing, interesting one. It'll kind of surprise you, but it's also really informative as well. So make sure you keep listening because we have a great interview. And then finally, if you missed our last couple of shows, we did talk about our giveaway with Amrita Singh. And both Casey and I are wearing the giveaway piece, which is Amrita Singh's Davis necklace. So if you haven't signed up yet to win it, you still have time. You have until November 26th. So a couple of days left, and you can go to amritasingh.com/eclad and sign up there, and also get additional entries by following us on Instagram at eclad1, and then you can also follow Amrita Singh Jewelry for another additional entry. And so you can go to eclad.com or amritasingjewelry.com for the full details if you forget everything I just said.
I know, it's just growing through it so fast. So yeah, just hit the websites if you have any questions.
On our Instagram, we also post about it too.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, so we're going to get right into today's show. Today we have an amazing, amazing show. As Kaylin said, today's show is pre-recorded, I know, but next week we'll be back live. But we do have an amazing show. Today we have the author of Sexual Confessional, Confidential Admissions from Social Media, Miss Nicole Delacroix. Okay, hi Nicole, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
Good. We're so excited to have you. I feel like this is a real treat for our eClad Chat listeners. And, you know, we've been talking about it throughout the weekend and stuff, and we're just really excited about this talk today, so thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate being on the show.
Great. Okay, so why don't we just start with a little bit of information about who you are. So tell us, what does Nicole Delacroix do on her downtime? And give us like a fun fact about yourself.
Oh, well, I'm, of course, an author. I've written two books so far. The first is fiction, the second is nonfiction, but we'll get into that in a minute. But fun fact about me, what do on my downtime? I spend a lot of time drinking. No, I don't.
That makes two of us.
more time than I should drinking. I love to read, and if you ever saw my house, you would just see piles of books. My mother complains that all I spend my money on is books and shoes.
Oh.
So,
There's a two ends of the spectrum. It's like, that's a great investment, actually. Shoes are a great investment, and books are definitely a great investment. So I think you're spending your money in productive way.
Yes. That's what I keep saying. You know, your shoes will take you somewhere, and your mind will get you there. So
exactly.
I'm investing in the two right things.
Oh, I like that. I like that saying.
Exactly. And since you're an author, it does make sense.
Right?
The books. But jumping like right into your book that we're going to talk mainly about, Sexual Confessional, it's Confidential Admissions from Social Media, and that's your book, and we were able to go through some of it, so for our audience members who may not have read the book, could you just tell them what it's about without giving away the entire thing?
Absolutely. It was actually, the idea came to me after I put out my first book, which was fiction. And unfortunately, anybody who's self-published will find out that unless you have a built-in audience, you've got to do the marketing yourself. So I was disappointed at my first book's failure, pretty much, and decided I was going to have a little bit of fun. And what I did is I put together a very intimate survey, and I reached out to the people on the internet and asked them what they thought about sex. And I probably should be considering major therapy at this point, but they answered.
No, I thought that was the most... That was so intriguing as I was going through the book, just to see the various answers that people gave. It was really interesting to see how honest, or at least I felt like, you know, they were being honest in the answer that they were giving.
Real life.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. Okay, so I'm not sure how much of the, you know, the content of the book we should talk about, or could talk about, since, you know, it's out now for sale, correct?
Yes, it is available now on, you can get it on Amazon, Kindle, and on the Nook.
Okay. All right. So just kind of prefacing the book, we just have, you know, a few questions that we thought we kind of pulled that we thought would be great to kind of ask you and get your perspective, you know, on these
various
things.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm going to start with, how has social media changed how we view sexual relations?
Well, I think that we probably need to start at how the sexual revolution started in media. If you look back towards the early days of television, there was a censor board, and they ruled with an iron fist. Couples didn't share a bed. The words that even had to do anything about sex were just taboo. I mean, who doesn't remember when I Love Lucy was on and watching the rerun, and we were like, we know she's pregnant, but nobody ever touches the elephant in the room. So after that, in the 60s, that's when we decided to make its way onto our television, and now we've gone to a point where we couldn't even say the word pregnancy, and you can actually watch softcore porn on your home television.
Wow, you know what, I've not quite thought about it. No, actually, there's been a huge transition, but the transition, I don't know if it's necessarily subtle. I don't think it was subtle, but the way that I feel like technology is, it just kind of brings you into things, and it sort of feels second nature. But no, like, you're right, in the 60s and even before
exactly.
That, I guess, you know, anything that was sexual or intimate, not necessarily sexual, but any sort of intimacy was sort of taboo to see on TV.
Yeah, and then, like, online, too, you know, the mainstreaming of erotica, like, you can easily access that. How has that kind of opened the door to, you know, what we were talking about, how it was previously taboo?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now it's to the point where you've got young kids who basically live on their telephones.
Right.
I don't know anybody who doesn't live on their phone at this point. And the sad part is that social media has made it so easy to find whatever you're looking for. I mean, like I like to say, there's a Craigslist address for that somewhere.
It's true.
But, I mean, the contact is so much easier to make, and the sad part is we've made our private life very public.
Yeah.
And I think we've all run across those Facebook posts and Twitter posts of these teachers that are trying to teach our young children that, you know, when you post a picture, it's forever, and it can travel so fast around the world. Unfortunately, most of them get photoshopped and become memes, but...
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know what? It's interesting that you say that because I'm just going to kind of bring it into sort of a personal situation that I recently encountered, actually. Just yesterday, my niece, she's... Okay, so we're all on Instagram, and I have a personal Instagram account, which I never, ever use. I think I might have, like, 20 or 30 followers. I don't even know why I have it there, but I generally, you know, post through my you know, my business Instagrams, right, and I guess social media forums. And so yesterday I get a phone call from my daughter and she says to me, Nadia, who is my niece, you know, someone's on Instagram, like, bullying her and saying, like, all these, like, crazy things or whatever, because she commented on a photo that, you know, of a friend of ours. So then this young lady got so upset because she, responded, and all the response was, because it was about a baby, she's like, oh my gosh, she looks just like her father. And I don't know what about that triggered such a volatile response from the other person, but it was just, I'm not even going to go into what this person was saying, but then, like, first, like, I got all, like, those snapshots of it, so then I went on Instagram, I'm reading, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, don't they realize, like, you know, and then I just had this long talk with my daughter, I'm like, you know, you have to be so careful what you put out there. And then I ended up three-waying my niece, and I'm giving her the same, you know, I'm telling her you have to be so careful about what you put and what, like, what you let people see, because once it's there, even if you delete it, it was already there. I'm not sure.
People can screenshot it and keep it forever.
It's just always, it's permanently there. So, I mean, that's not necessarily, it doesn't fall in line per se with what we're talking about, but just in respect to
aspect.
Yeah. Of like, you know, just social media just being so accessible, everyone's using their phones, and it's just, I mean, even kids, and mm-hmm. it's just, you know, it's a very, I feel, touchy subject. But no, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to just agree with you absolutely, and I think a lot of that comes from the fact that you're hidden behind this computer screen,
right?
And you don't pick up on the social cues, and you can't pick up on the person's body language. So it's okay to say these horrible things to people, because in your mind, they're not a person. And we just don't have that intimate connection when you have that face-to-face meeting, that it's okay to say these horrible things like, oh, you're fat, or you're ugly, or you're this.
Right.
Instead of just seeing that, you know, as she said, it wasn't a horrible thing to say. It was an innocuous comment, to be sure, but somebody took it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, when we're dealing with the internet, that's what we deal with.
Right, right. I mean, you know, is there, like, some sort of way that we can kind of change that? Like, I'm not sure if that's even possible. Like, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm like, you know what, that's so true. How can we then, if at all, is it possible for us to, when we're making certain, like, we're tweeting or we're putting something out there, is there a way that we can make people realize that, you know, whatever we're saying is harmless? I mean, I don't know if that's possible.
Well, and unfortunately, because the internet is unmanageable,
right,
is probably the best way of putting it.
Right.
Because there's no one entity that governs the internet. And I think the best thing that we can do is to teach our own children and our community that, you know what, the internet can be a very interesting place, and it can be helpful in some situations, but it can also be very, very dangerous. And I think that parents need to arm themselves and become aware of the technology and try to keep up with the technology so that way they talk to their kids. And I think that's a big problem that I've seen, is that people don't talk anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, 100%.
Yeah, and like how we were talking about it before, where it's like, you know, what you put on Instagram doesn't go away, and a lot of people, they, you know, expose their body parts online, and most of accounts that I follow, you know, models and stuff, they have thousands and thousands and millions of followers, and, you know, they're always not wearing that many clothes. So, you know, I mean, do you think it's, like, true that you kind of have to expose yourself more to achieve a large following?
Well, you know, I think that the parents just need to be aware of what their kids are doing and be in tune with the technology. And honestly, we got to get away from this whole, the more likes you have, the more popular you are.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it doesn't help any that we've got role models that, you know, are posting pictures of themselves naked, saying, oh, this is what you want to be, when the truth of the matter is that we want our kids to grow up smart, intelligent, thoughtful, and respectful of other people. And I think that what we need to do is to take these celebrities and say, you know what, you need to be a better role model, and if you're not, we need to stop treating them like celebrities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just piggybacking off what you're saying, it's not just the kids anymore. I mean, adults are kind of subscribing to this sort of behavior where, you know, I guess they feel in order to be popular, you have to, I mean, the more cleavage, the better. Or
people I know, people.
Which is just so insane. I've even seen it on business accounts, like, you know, where certain companies are sort of using models sex sells, okay? So we all know sex sells, but where are the limits? Like, are there any limits, or should there be any limits? Like, you know, Nicole, if you could chime in.
Well, and see, that's the thing that I don't get, is everybody thinks that sex sells, but it really doesn't. You'd be surprised to know how much it doesn't sell, and I've actually done the research on it. The truth of the matter is that, yes, we're pre-programmed. We have a disposition to respond to sexual imagery. It's strong, and advertisers have used it for hundreds of years. But if you stop and you think about it, the science breaks it down. If you look at the Super Bowl ad, 30% of those ads contain sexy images or double meanings. And every single one of those ads that created a sexy image or had a double meaning to it was rated lower in brand recognition than the more family-friendly ones. And that's by 30%.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So sex doesn't sell. But advertisers think it does because we're pre-programmed to react to it.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you could, like, really remember it, but it might not equal, like, brand recognition, like she was saying. It's not, like, a very positive, you know, impression.
Yeah. So then, okay, this is where I get a little confused then, because then I'm probably one of those people that feel like, you know, I'm not going to see a naked man and that's not going to make me buy something. You know what I mean? Like, the notion of that, just like, I mean, I might be mortified for the first 5 seconds, and then afterwards I might be like, okay, what's going on here? But, you know, like, it doesn't instinctually say, okay, let me pick up my phone and go to blahblahblah.com and purchase that something, you know? But you know, yet people are doing it. I mean, how can we gear from that? Like, I'm not sure that we can. We live in a society, I feel like, where that's just the norm, which is sad.
Well, and I think in this country, and, you know, you have to. My mother is German, so I grew up, you know, going to Europe a lot, and back and forth. So it's interesting when you start looking at American views as opposed to European views.
Right.
If you've ever been outside of this country and into, like, Germany or France or anything like that, you'll know that one, they have nude and topless beaches. They're everywhere. They have a less stringent view on nudity, both in public and in the media. So, I mean, I remember when I was 13 years old and we went to Germany, I got off the plane in Frankfurt, and the first thing I saw was a naked woman on an ad. I lost my mind. I was like, oh, my God, there's naked people here.
Yeah.
And, of course, my mother explained it to me. She said, yeah, no, in Europe, they just don't have that hang-up. And I think a lot of our problem is that we have this hang-up because it's so close to pornography, and we haven't defined what pornography is.
That's
We're at 30 years old, we're still giggling in the classroom because somebody said the word penis.
No, it's true. Yeah, like, I think in America it is pretty different. And so, like, going back to your book, you know, you had to get people to really, like, come out to you and kind of, you know, take away their privacy for a minute. So how did you kind of pique audience interest and get them to respond with the answers that you needed? Because I feel like some people, you know, would be really hesitant.
Yeah, I would be one of those people. I'd be afraid that, you know what, they might actually look me up.
Well, and I mean, I think we all like looking at sexy people. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, I tend to find funny commercials sell meat products better anyways. I like the funny ones. And seriously, if it's got Star Wars involved, I'm all about it.
Oh, wow. Okay, so just kind of like, I want to sort of transition from the whole sex and social media thing and kind of take it into, you know, how you use social media to sort of fuel your project. And, you know, we generally talk about business news here. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be great to kind of touch on that aspect and kind of use your expertise that you lend us to kind of fuel the things, the projects that our listeners are involved in. So I know Kaylin just asked about, you know, reaching out to people on social media for, yeah, you know, answers for your book. How did you, okay, so you've sort of piqued their interest and, you know, they answered you. How did you go about getting them to answer? Yes. Let's start there and then I can kind of roll out my next question as it rolls off my tongue.
Well, I think what you're asking me is, how did I identify my audience?
Right, exactly. But I think first let's kind of touch on
how you identified them, and then after got them to respond,
right,
and, you know, give this personal information to make up your book.
Well, the first thing I did is I really had to sit down and eliminate some of the more philosophical questions, because I tended, when I started the process, I was leaning towards the philosophical side. And I finally just said, you know what, throw caution to the wind and start asking some very intimate questions and throw in, you know, some fun things in there as well, just so that people would find it enjoyable.
Yeah.
At that point, you know, I looked for the 12-year-old boy in the room, because, you know, they were going to be laughing and they would probably answer me. Unfortunately, there's a lot of 12-year-old boys in the room. and they're easy to find. You'd be surprised how easy they are to find. But no, I reached out to, I shared it with my friends and realized I did not want to have that kind of information about my friends. And immediately decided, you know what, I'm just going to go anonymous. So I started with Facebook, a couple of groups that I was a member of that mostly had to do with adult humor and dealt with sexual imagery and things like that. So I got a few people from there. And after that, I decided I was going to go to Reddit, because I'd always had a good relationship with the people on Reddit. And when I posted it, I actually got most of my answers from the people on Reddit. They were very open and honest, and I found a really, really good subreddit where people were interested in actually participating in surveys and things like that.
Oh, wow.
So it was actually, I thought it was going to be like 6 or 7 months, and it ended up being 30 days where I had to shut it down because I had too many answers.
Oh, wow.
Reddit is like actually really good.
I've not used it, actually. Oh, really? I've not used it yet.
It's like a forum where like people can respond. And I think that kind of ties into like our next question, because you, like, you know, found the right medium to use to get your answers. So if other people are trying to do something similar, like create a social media campaign or, you know, get responses from people, kind of what do they need to do to, you know, find the right medium for them and find the right outlet?
Yeah. And tell us how you decided that Reddit was, you know, I mean, yeah, did you know about Reddit beforehand, or was there some sort of research or something that, you know, brought you to knowing about this particular forum that existed?
Well, and first of all, you have to know a little bit about me. I am a total dork. I am the first one to admit it. I love books. I love geeky things. I'm I'm an Uber geek. I can't help it. So yes, I did know about Reddit beforehand, but it actually hadn't occurred to me until I was talking to a few of my techie friends, and they said, you know, forums are a great place to get people to open up and talk. I had first initially approached several blogs that dealt with sex and the sex industry, thinking that I'd get my answers that way. But it turns out that Reddit was a much better move for me because I felt that the people who answered me were very intellectual, they were very honest, and it wasn't that, you know, 12-year-old boy giggling in the classroom. It was an actual answer, and I thought that they were very thoughtful, and they knew what I was trying to do, and they wanted to help.
Wow. And so, so you posted a series of questions. Is that how you, so you posted a series of questions and they, did they start answering immediately, or, you know, did you have to give sort of a, I guess like, you know, a little snippet of what it is that you were trying to accomplish, or were people just open to just answering these, you know, random questions that you placed on, well, not, I don't know if they were random, but, you know, like these, you know, questions that you've placed on there for the forum?
Actually, what I did is I did both, actually, because I wanted to make sure that I was very open and honest with what I was doing. So I posted it on my website. I posted the questions beforehand, and anybody who was interested in looking at the survey before they actually committed to taking it was more than welcome to go there.
Okay.
Anybody who had questions was welcome to reach out to me directly, and I was happy to answer them. Honestly, I posted the survey, and there was a small little snippet at the top that basically told them that they were answering questions anonymously, that it was for a publication, and that at that point, if they didn't want to do it, they should leave now, but that their information was completely anonymous,
yeah.
Which was probably the most time-consuming thing that of the entire project, was finding a place where it could be anonymous.
Yeah.
I think, like, the questions, too, like, some of them, like, would initiate more of a response, because we actually just had the fairy tale character you'd like to have sex with.
That. Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Yeah. So, like, things like that.
Yeah, and, you know, and I threw some of those funny ones in there just to, really just to be silly sometimes, because, you know what, sometimes we do take things a little bit too seriously.
Yeah.
And I think I could be serious on one aspect and then turn around and be really silly. And it was fun.
Yeah, and also just, you know, piggybacking on Kaylin's statement here, what I love too is the fact that after each question, after you've like sort of listed the question, the answers that followed from the participants, that you had like these final thoughts I thought were so interesting. At completion of the book, what did you take away from this experience? I'm curious to know.
Well, for myself, I had gotten to a point where I had become very introverted and had basically retreated into myself. I had so many things that had happened within a year's time that just made me just decide, you know what, I'm done with things. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm finished. And the process actually was very cathartic for me because I was able to be open and honest with myself, and in doing so, as you'll notice when reading the book, my name is the only name that appears in it, and I put my name to every single answer. I have no problem with it. I learned that, you know what, I like who I am, I embrace who I am, and I've learned to be a little bit more honest with the people in my life. If somebody does something that bothers me, normally I would have just, you know, looked the other way and not said anything, and now I'm a little bit more aggressive and say, you know what, when you did this, it bothered me, and this is why it bothered me. But I've also learned to approach people with a little bit more kindness and love.
That's nice.
Because truth is we're all the same, and that's what I learned from it. I had answers from all over the world, and I was blown away by the number of answers that I got from places like China and Russia and Italy and things like that. And reading those people's answers, I could have been reading my own answer.
Wow.
Because it sounded so much like myself. It's like, why do we think that we're so different? We are so alike.
Right.
We all have the same hopes. We all have the same dreams. If we approach each other with kindness and love, it's a much better way of living than to try and hate each other. It takes more effort to hate.
No, I agree. I love that little piece of information you gave.
That everyone can, like, relate to something if they see something someone else said.
Absolutely.
Like, kind of makes everyone more relatable.
And it's universal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love that you said that. Like, I didn't realize that, you know, the people that were that you were corresponding with or answering these surveys were international as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't just here in the U.S. So that's even more interesting to see that they have similar... You know, I mean, I guess we're all people and we're all human. I don't know why I'm so surprised. But, yeah, no, that's amazing. Okay, so...
Well, we've got so many things going on in this world that can make you just hate.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm tired of looking at the news and seeing nothing but bad news. I'd like to see something good for a change. I'd like to see, you know what, this is a great place to live. And you know what, yes, we have differences, and yes, we have differences of opinion. But you know what, I can respect you for your differences, and I can accept you the way you are, warts and all.
Yeah, you know what, I totally agree with that statement. I mean, it's the point now where the minute you put the TV on, it's something negative.
Oh, yeah.
There's always something negative going on in our world, just in our communities, and it's just... I don't know. It's time for a change. I'm ready for a change. I don't know if anyone else is, but I'm definitely ready for a change. I had another question for you, Nicole. So for people that are, you know, that will be listening to this, we'll be airing this the day before Thanksgiving, so hopefully it'll be a treat for everyone. So for the listeners out there that are, you know, new, they're entrepreneurs, but they're new and they're searching and trying to achieve whatever their goal is, do you have any words of, like, you know, not necessarily inspiration, but, you know, tell us, what can they do to get that project off the ground? If you have any tips.
Any tips? Well, I will tell you this. First of all, absolutely never give up. Because the minute you give up, you've already lost. Everybody has their own voice, and everybody has the right to be heard. And reach out to other people. You never know who might be holding that one piece of the puzzle that you need to make your project really soar. And all you have to do is find like-minded people. And I think for the most part, I've had great experiences coming up with people like editors and communities of people that I can talk to, and other people that are authors that can help me get my vision out in the world. And finding like-minded people to help you, I think most people want to help other people succeed. And I'm happy to help anybody that I can, because I know at some point somebody helped me. And the second part I would say is never be afraid to ask. The worst anybody can ever say to you is no. And you're already getting a no if you're not asking. So don't be afraid to ask. I'm not afraid to ask. I've asked of many, many people, and you'd be surprised the answers I get. I've sent copies to probably the best publishing houses in the world, and they said, you know, this is a great idea, but I decided to self-publish because I just didn't like the politics of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a lot of great tips, I think, for someone. Because a lot of people think they can do it on their own, but that's really... No, helpful. That sometimes you do need, like, the extra person.
Sometimes it takes a team.
Yes, exactly. And now, for our, like, final series of questions, we ask this to all of our guests who come on the show, because ECLAD is, you know, both fashion and events, kind of, that's what our show centers on. So, the first question is, what is the most memorable event you've ever attended? And if you could just give us any reason why, what made it so special?
The most memorable event for me, I'm going to have to say it was my best friend's wedding.
Oh, that's nice.
I love her to death, and she is the other half of me. Where I'm completely evil, she's completely good. And I love her to death, and I could not breathe without her in this world. And she is... so happy, and the man that she married has made her so happy, and I love the both of them, and it was so memorable for me because I live a good 3 or 4 hours away from where they live, and they held their wedding on a day that they knew that I could be there. So
oh,
they moved
amazing.
Their wedding date just so that I could be there. For me, that was incredibly memorable because it was important to them that I was there.
Yeah. No, that's oh my gosh, yeah. That's amazing.
A lot of our answers have been like kind of like that sentimental. Like
yeah.
That's why you remember it more than even like the show.
The actual, actual event itself. It's like the feelings and the things that come with
it.
Oh, I love that answer. Okay, so so you're a woman, of course. And so we have to ask, what are your essential, like your jewelry and accessory essentials? What should every woman have on before she walks out the house?
Oh, that's easy.
Okay.
That's an easy one. And I have to admit that I'm a little bit of a girly girl, so I do full hair and makeup every morning. I will not walk outside without full hair and makeup. But if there was only a few things that you could get that you absolutely have to have, a great pair of shoes that make you look fabulous and make you feel great.
Okay.
And fabulous lipstick that makes you smile. And your favorite perfume just to make you feel like you want to live.
God, I love those,
actually. Okay, and then do you have any favorite accessory or jewelry designer?
You know, I get my pick of what I like. I tend to like very minimal jewelry, only because you know it gets in my hair because I have long hair, so it gets stuck. So I tend to not wear very many necklaces, but I do wear a lot of rings. Anything that has a garnet on it, I am going to be absolutely in love with it. I love garnets. I absolutely adore them.
Nice. So before you mentioned about making sure you walk out the house with lipstick on. So does that mean that you're a lipstick girl or are you a lip gloss girl?
I am a lipstick girl. Let me tell you, I love absolutely, and I am so happy that the new colors are the dark berries because those are my favorite colors, and they look fabulous on me. So I am so happy that they're in style right now. I love them to death.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, and finally, you mentioned in the beginning where you could find your book, but just in case, you know, anyone forgot, just a last minute reminder, where can you find your book and then how can people, you know, reach you or follow you on social media?
Well, you can find my book on Amazon. It is available both in paperback and in Kindle form. You can also get it on the Nook. It is available also from Barnes & Noble and every major publisher. If you'd like to follow me on social media, I am very active on Twitter. I am also active on Facebook. And you can also go to my website, and all of my links are on my website, and that's www.nicole-delacroix.com.
Yay!
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Nicole. You know what? This was so much fun. It was a lot more fun than... I mean, I knew it would be cool, but like it was so... It just really flowed, and I really appreciate you spending the time with us.
I thank you guys. I appreciate it so much. I love it when I get on the phone with somebody and they're just energetic. It pumps me up. So you guys have got me all pumped up.
Okay. So hopefully we can get you back on again sometime soon. We'll generate another really amazing topic, and maybe you can join us in for something like that. And you know,
or if you ever come to New York.
Yeah. Are you ever in New York? That's a good point, Kim.
You know, I was just talking to my mother about going to New York. So absolutely. Anytime you guys want me, you just reach out.
Okay, awesome.
So thank you again. We really, really appreciate your time. And we'll be in touch. And thank you.
Well, thank you, guys. And you ladies have a fantastic day now. And enjoy your Thanksgiving.
You do the same. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Nicole, for your time. We appreciate it. Guys, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll be talking about the designer feature, news, and events for this week.
Engage in style and perform in elegance at eClad's Hidden Gem Gallery and Event Space. eClad's Hidden Gem is an 1,100 square foot venue in Manhattan's premier Midtown East neighborhood that blends both contemporary style and elegance to create a sophisticated events venue. eClad's Hidden Gem provides an intimate, luxurious, and exquisite setting. It hosts everything from cocktail receptions, bridal showers and parties, to pop-up shops and product launches, art shows, photo and video shoots, and corporate-style conferences, seminars, and presentations at an affordable price. eClad's Hidden Gem is located at 122 East 57th Street, New York City, 10022. If you're looking for a beautiful yet affordable venue for hire, then eClad's Hidden Gem is your venue of choice. Head over to y-cladshiddengem.com, email us at hiddengem@y-clad.com, or simply give us a call at 212-644-6445 and rent eClad's Hidden Gem today. Make it what you want. eClad's Hidden Gem.
And so we're back with today's designer feature, which is the Eve Clutch by J.J. Winters. You can see it right here. It's Italian color-blocked leather, and it's a fold-over clutch with a zip-top enclosure, which is really cool because, yeah, the zip's on top.
Yeah.
And it has hidden magnetic snaps so that, you know, it's nice and sleek, and has silk satin lining. She, you know, Casey's opening it up. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as all our products are, it's handcrafted, and it's also designed in the USA. So it's a great little clutch to carry, nice and easy. And it's definitely a statement piece since it's got the bright colors.
I know, it's nice and bold. It's soft, too.
Oh, let me feel it. And you can get it on eclad.com,
yes,
of course.
Yes, you can. Okay, guys, so we're going to go right into the news. And in today's news, Kangol and Bowman Hat Company will create 41 new full-time American jobs and retain 176 currently held positions over the next 3 years. Bowman is America's oldest hat maker, and its Pennsylvania factory has continuously made hats since 1868. In 2001, Bowman Hat Company acquired the global license to design, produce, and distribute Kangol headwear. It's actually one of my favorite hats. I love hats. Prior to the acquisition, the decision by previous ownership had already been put in motion to move all manufacturing to China in order to stay competitive. The factory in China was purchased in 2006 by a Chinese hat maker who has now decided to close its doors, opening the door for Kangol to bring even more of its production to the United States. So that's amazing. New jobs, new opportunities, anything that's American made, I'm all for it. Also in use, Target reveals its massive Black Friday sale that began on November 22nd. This year, Target will hold a special pre-sale on November 25th. The chain store is also holding a 10 days of deals promotion. If you just want to shop Thanksgiving weekend, Target will open its doors at 6 p.m. on Thursday, November 26th, Thanksgiving Day. But you might want to wait until the next day, since Target is offering a 20% coupon you can use from December 4th through the 13th if you spend $75 or more on Friday, November 27th. We provide the links and all the information to the sale on eclad.com and ecladshiddengem.com. Also in use today is Amazon's Black Friday deal. So also, just like Target, Amazon is having a Black Friday's deal that's already in progress. You can skip the lines and shop Black Friday deals right online. They have hundreds of limited time lightning deals for you to choose from, exciting deals of the day, and savings on your favorite electronics, toys, jewelry, and more. These limited supply deals will go quickly, but they'll add new deals as often as 5 minutes, every 5 minutes, so you can be sure to find a great deal when you go on.
And then now for events, seeing as how Thanksgiving is tomorrow,
kind of
sticking with that, there's a ton to do if you are in New York City. And, of course, there's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, you know, with all the balloons and floats and marching bands. And, I mean, it's great to watch on TV, but if you can make it there in person, it's, like, definitely a different experience.
For sure.
Yeah, so some tips for attending. You can start viewing at 75th Street in Central Park West, and that's just two blocks down from the official start of the parade. And it's only open to the public on the west side, so make sure you keep that in mind. And Central Park is closed for invite-only grandstand seating. And so the parade runs along the stretch from 9 to 10:30 a.m., so make sure you get there early. 6 a.m. is probably the time you'd want to get there to snag a prime spot. And then you can also see the parade from Time Warner Center at the shops at Columbus Circle, and they open at 9 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day, And if you just go up to the second or third floors of the mall, you can see the parade elevated, which is really cool. So come down Central Park West and you'll have like a nice above view to watch it. And then also the Holiday Under the Stars light display is there. I've seen it last year. It's really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like all these lights in like the lobby, and I don't know if it's every 20 minutes or every... It's like they repeat.
Periodically.
Yeah, it's like a light show, which is really cool. Yeah,
I've not seen that.
Yeah, so you can see both while you're there.
That's cool.
And then if you can't do either of those options, you can go to 6th Avenue, and the floats and balloons, they reach 6th Avenue at about 9:30 a.m. So, you know, you could go there as late as 7 a.m. and still be able to find a good spot. And then if, you know, you decided this year that you're not cooking and you want to, you know, get a meal at a restaurant, then this will be good for you. There's a list of restaurants open on Thanksgiving Day, and you can see it on timeout.com, and you can head to eclatsandgem.com where we'll post all of that information.
Okay, guys, so thank you for joining us today on today's wonderful episode. We look forward to doing it all over again with you guys next week. And, of course, we'll be back on live on Blog Talk Radio. And from myself and Kaylin and the eCloud Chat family, we would like to wish you a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. Catch you all next week. And remember, love life and wear it well. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone!
Eclad is a boutique for luxurious handmade goods. From jewels to leather to fashion accessories, our merchandise is 95% handcrafted, made from the finest of materials from across the globe. Exceptional and brilliant quality is the absolute standard here at Eclad. The majority of the items we carry are one of a kind and completely unique, with only a limited number ever produced. Our collection is diverse, offering you a plethora of accoutrements to select from. The decor of our boutique is both contemporary and elegant, a unique fusion of an exclusive and indulgent shopping experience coupled with New York's social scene and lifestyle. We invite you to come experience our 57th Street Oasis. But if you're not in New York, just head over to eclad.com for your one-of-a-kind, beautiful, artistic find. And remember, love life and wear it well.